What is going on, everyone? I'm Mike.
And I'm Bash.
Welcome to House of Pod, coming to you 20 floors below sea level in a bunker, trying to protect ourselves.
From the hunger virus.
Yes, from the hunger virus. The
zombies. Zombie, man.
The zombies are afoot.
They got camp.
Yeah. So there's a lot of shit that's been going on currently around us. We're going to dive into that a little bit later, just because we're going to get all the wrestling stuff out of the way, because there wasn't much wrestling going on.
Yeah, not a whole lot.
At least the actual wrestling part, the news aspects, the news is just is overwhelming today. Clearly.
A little more towards the AEW side.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I meant in general, like the amount of just bullshit that's been going on. So hopefully everybody's safe and secure in their bunkers as well.
Yes.
What is it called? Social distancing?
I don't know.
It's like a buzzword just to say stay the fuck inside.
Hey, whatever keeps you away from the legacy virus.
Yeah, exactly. Gotta stay away from the extremist virus. It's bad. So yeah, let's go ahead and just start off with the wrestling. Basham, I think for the first time, we're going to start with NXT, because there really wasn't much of an NXT, was there?
I mean, it was actually pretty exciting. We started off, we had Tom Phillips and Triple H just opening up in front of a green screen.
Ooh!
It was pretty awesome. And then we got a Ciampa Gargano flashback. It was basically like from tryout to DIY to the turn to matches to Ciampa's injury to DIY again, and then back to now where Johnny Gargano is now the heel. But it just kind of like reminded you, like, oh damn, this rivalry's been going on a little, like a while.
A long time.
Yeah, and while I was sitting there like, I don't know, like they kind of ruined the moment, or like they kind of lost the moment, not ruined it. That was more Vince's fault than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they couldn't have that match for the title. It was like one of the greatest storylines ever, and this just kind of reminded you, like, okay, and after seeing it, it's like, all right, maybe they do have one final conclusion match.
Yes, and then they finally put it in the books, because it has been going on for quite a while.
Yeah.
But that's good, I feel like. That's long storytelling is always better than month-to-month nonsense.
I think they're going to have Ciampa win, honestly.
That'd be interesting.
I think they're going to have him win, stay down at the roster, and chase the title after Dream wins it.
And they pull Gargano up. And then when Johnny comes up, you can start the feud again, when Ciampa comes up.
Ciampa said that if he ever got called up, he'd probably retire.
Good on him. That's definitely understandable.
What a world we live in. Anyway.
So what else happened on this clip show?
Next up was Finn Balor. And then we had a Finn Balor flashback. So it was basically like, you know, oh, here's this great, you know, Finn Balor character they had on NXT, and then he went to the main roster,
and they pooped all over him.
Yeah, but they also mentioned how, like, everyone that he faced, basically, they were having good matches. So it's...
Just to try to balance out, it's like, yeah, they treated him poorly, but look at how good his matches were.
Look how good everyone else he faced did. And then he had, like, a moment where he was staring down the camera and speaking all Irish-like. It's pretty badass.
Yeah. Speaking all Irish, like, I can't do the accent. I'm so bad at accents.
Well, I can only do it sometimes.
Yeah.
I feel I need another beer to do it decent, at least.
You gotta be drinking a Guinness.
Yeah. If I haven't been quarantined yet, I can still go get one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, gotta stock up.
Ooh, maybe I should open a beer delivery service.
Car bombs for days.
Yeah. Like, I'm essential, I swear.
Yeah, just
food delivery.
Food delivery. People need me.
Anyway, moving on. We had our final package. It was Rhea Ripley.
Package.
It was a Rhea Ripley flashback from the, like, first Mae Young Classic, where she was in, like, long blonde hair and all smiles and...
I always like when they do that.
Not the pierced, shaven head badass that we know now.
Like, when they did that with, like, Becky, when they would show her coming in to NXT the first time.
Rebecca Quinn. Yeah.
Rebecca Quinn. She's like literally river dancing.
Yeah, that was an interesting gimmick. Not racist at all, Vince.
No. Vince, not at all. But how did the Rhea package go? I mean, I'm assuming it was the same as all of them. It's like, yeah, get ready
for this match that's going to happen in an empty arena. I think they should, I think they should kind of do what AEW did, where there was at least, like, some wrestlers in the ring. It was, like, heels and faces making commentary.
Yeah.
MJF is so good.
Yeah, that was great.
That was NXT. So, speaking of AEW.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that, as Bash was saying, I mean, I'm sure people have already seen, like, the amount of empty stadiums that they've been wrestling to.
Scared of the techno-organic virus.
Yeah, we got to be careful of that. So AEW was in, they moved it to Jacksonville, which, I mean, I think it's just, Tony Khan's like, you guys can just use my stadium, whatever, it's fine. but there is, this wasn't a clip show, which was nice. They had, there were some, a lot of just awesome debuts, amazing shit, and it's like almost, makes it almost that much disappointing, more disappointing that there was no audience there.
Yeah, the insane amount of pops that would have happened.
Yeah. So we start out...
So much pop.
Right? Starts out with Cody's in the ring, and he's just talking about, you know, what's been going on, how we, you know, in the world, we all have to band together, and that they're still here. And it was kind of weird at first, but I think he did a really good job of, like, still hyping up the show despite the fact that it's in front of nobody. Then Matt Jackson and Kenny Omega came in, were giving the same speeches. They were like saying how they're not sure when the next Dynamite's going to be, which throughout the whole night was a good theme where they mention, like whenever something happens where they're like, instead of saying next week, they'll say next Dynamite. Cause just as a precaution in case they can't do anything. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all that happens, it's basically that towards the end of that, they started talking about their Blood and Guts match and how making sure everyone's on the same page, including Adam Page, who came out and kind of nodded and did his thing. So, so then they kicked off the show with first MJF and Sean Spears gambling in the front row.
Yeah.
Which is great, trying to get Tony Schiavone into throwing in some money. but our first match was Lucha Brothers and versus the Best Friends. And Orange Cassidy on commentary, which he said nothing, which is perfect.
Yes.
But the Lucha Bros ended up pulling the victory with a low blow with the ref distracted. And then afterwards, the Best Friends challenged them to a street fight the next Dynamite.
Nice. So the next Dynamite's going to be stacked.
Yeah, the next Dynamite is going to be nuts. Mm.
How are the Lucha Brothers with taggy rules?
They're getting better. Mm. I actually did read that Jericho kind of talked to them, literally pulled them aside and was like, listen, you got to do something about this. You got to start following rules. There were some weird moments in the next match. It was a four-way between... oh my god, my handwriting. What was it? Chris Stratlander, Rio, Penelope Ford, and Hikaru Shida. Pretty decent match. There was a lot of interruption from Kip Sabin and Penelope Ford, which led to a great moment after the match that I'll talk about in a sec. In the end, Penelope hit what's her finisher called? Like the Poison Rana? Yeah, she hits a Poison Rana, but on, I believe it was Stratlander, and then...
Wait, is it a Poison Rana or a Poison Driver she does?
I think it's Poison Rana. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's... I don't know if it's... I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. But then, yeah, but then immediately afterwards, Shida comes in, gives her the air... Or what's her finisher called?
Akira Shida, I have no idea.
It was a Falcon Arrow followed by a knee. I think her finisher might just be a running knee.
Yeah,
I could be wrong.
Well, but, so is Daniel Bryan's.
Yeah, that's true.
A running knee that somehow makes you fall on your head.
But yeah, then after the match, Tony was talking to Colt Cabana, and Colt was talking about the women's match, and Colt was saying how you know, Penelope Ford is good, but Kip Saban's always getting in the way and blah, blah, blah. And, like, you can kind of see the cameras, like, at the position. You see he's standing in the background. He turns, and he's like, what are you talking about? And, like, he gets in his face, and Colt, like, I mean, the empty arena definitely helps. He slapped the shit out of him, like, such a loud slap. And he's like, yeah, I'm a wrestler too, remember? It was so funny. So they're definitely setting something up between them, which I'm pretty excited about. Next match we had Dracus. Oh, God. Words are really difficult. Jurassic Express defeat the Butcher and the Blade. It was a pretty solid match. It was very, I mean, I know Marco Stunt is currently, like, quarantined himself.
Yeah, he's self-quarantined.
Right? Yeah. He said that he wasn't feeling well, so he stayed home from the tapings. But so it was that class. It was that, you know, Butcher and the Blade ganging up on Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus getting the hot tag every time, and they ended up pulling the victory of that, which I'm fine with. I mean, it's essentially just whatever. If you had Marco Stunt there, he probably would have been the one who was, you know, getting beat up and all that stuff. So.
But when Marco Stunt's there, occasionally Jungle Boy gets the hot tag.
Yeah, and it's always nice when Jungle Boy gets the hot tag. Oh, yes. One of the two best moments of the night. We had the Dark Order come out and talk about how the Exalted One is near, and saying all this stuff about the Dark Order, obviously, like they tend to do. But then Christopher Daniels in the crowd, because with the wrestlers are kind of split heels and bad guys on, like, each side of the ring.
Heels and bad guys, huh?
Heels and bad guys, yes. Heels and good guys. Heels and faces. Yes. Good guys and bad guys. Yeah. So he's like, pretty much the same thing he said last week. He's like, there's no Dark Order. You guys are just saying this nonsense to, you know, boost your own agenda. And then a vignette starts playing on the background with the Exalted One. And I think they did a good job of making it seem like it was Matt for a long time. They had the distorted voice. He even kind of was wearing some sort of, like, Matt Hardy-esque type thing. He had the hood over his head. But yeah, I'm glad Brody Lee. Just like, my name is Brody Lee and I am the Exalted One. And then, like, the vignette ends and he's just standing in the ring and just fucking boots him. Boots Christopher Daniels. The Dark Order just beat the shit out of SCU. It was good. And then
I thought it was a discus clothesline that, like,
well, he first booted him. Yeah. He did the boot. Discus clothesline. It almost looked like he was going to do a Sister Abigail, because he had him in that position to do to do it. Then he just picked him up and then did the discus clothesline, which I don't remember if that was ever part of it when he did it back then as Luke Harper.
I don't know. Can't remember.
But yeah, it was good. And I kind of like, they're, like, standing there, and, like, someone there, like, he's just standing there and the other guys are, like, standing behind him, like, chanting shit. And then he just walks away first, and then everyone else kind of gathers their shit and lives. Good choice. Good choice.
Yes.
Honestly, like, the more and more I thought about it, like, I was like, I don't think the Hardy, while it would be cool for him to be in the Dark Order because he's all, like, broken and stuff, I think he's a face that would not fit very well.
Yeah, people like him so much that there's no way they're going to be able to, like, oh, here's this evil organization.
Yeah, but Brody Lee.
Yeah.
So it fits perfectly. That was just awesome. In between that and the last match, we had what started out like as an interview with Lance Archer and Jake the Snake. And then it turned into a video package about Lance. I believe the place was called, like, the Mohawk compound or the Mohawk mansion, the Lance Hawk mansion.
Okay.
Something like that. And it was basically, it looked like a scene from, like, backyard wrestling. It was just like Jake, like a big field, Jake the Snake sitting in, like, a chair while Lance Archer's in a ring with just a bunch of guys and just beating the shit out of all of them.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It was pretty interesting, I will say. But then, yes, the last match of the night, we had Inner Circle versus the Elite. Two amazing things happened in this match, and it had nothing to do with the actual match. I'll just say right now, match was really good. A lot of back and forth. There was still that kind of tension between Matt and Hangman, and that didn't necessarily cost them the match, but like Heyman looked like he went to go do the Meltzer driver with Matt, and he got, you know, he got pulled off the apron, and then Matt got rolled up for the 1-2-3. But Jericho and Taz on commentary with each other is the funniest thing in the entire world. I was laughing so hard listening to this. Like if you find the whole match, not just like the YouTube clips, when you hear them talking to each other, it's just, it's amazing. I will say, just in general, the commentating on the show was great, because you can tell they were just like, well, let's go, like, let's do this. And they're just, they were like laughing and cracking jokes the whole time. Like I loved it. I thought it was amazing. But like when you got Jericho up there with Taz, at one point, Taz was like, was talking about, Proud and Powerful. And he's like, oh yeah, they're good. You know, he's like, I'm not exactly happy that they're wearing orange, you know, I just, but that's just me. I don't want to do it. And Jericho's like, yeah, well, you know, kayfabe, brother. They just start cracking up. It was so great. But after the match, Jericho's just talking shit. They're listing off why they're good, all this other stuff. They ended up getting the advantage in the match, which I think means they have an extra person. Or they start out with an extra person.
That means they start first. Their guy comes in, and you basically, it becomes a 2-on-1 in favor of the heels first.
Yeah. And then because of last week, Nick Jackson is out, so they were already short. The Elite was already short a man. So as Jericho's talking his stuff, you just hear the loud buzzing, and Vanguard 1 just slowly comes down, and Matt's like, we don't, you know, you just want the, you got wrong. He's like, we're definitely not short of man. Then you just hear the piano playing in the background, and there's Matt Hardy standing at the top of an empty arena, just being the best. And it was so awesome. And once again, it's like, oh God, can you imagine how big that fucking pop would have been throughout the whole night with Brody Lee and with Matt Hardy? Like I'm excited to see the fans, like, and see them come back, because then it's like that anticipation is already there.
Now they know Matt Hardy's there, so that first thing,
they're
probably gonna like turn the lights up for a little bit, and
yeah, they're gonna make
music, man, make him wait.
They're gonna make a spectacle out of it. They're gonna have that crowd like eating out of their hands. It's gonna be wonderful.
On the next Dynamite.
On the next Dynamite, which I'm hoping. It's like part of me hopes that it's next week, but then another part of me is like, if it's going to be postponed and we have like this weird 2-week waiting period where we can't like go anywhere and like see people or like be within like have like be within like the confines of like a building with a set amount of people and all that stuff, I would almost rather them wait for the Blood and Guts match until there is a crowd. You know what I mean? I know it's not going to happen, and I'm sure it'll still be really good regardless if they do it next week. Because, I mean, and there was a quick promo about Jericho or about Moxley, who isn't cleared to wrestle yet. Basically just reiterating how he's gonna fuck it up for the Inner Circle.
Yeah.
But yeah, I should be interesting. Things are weird now. Everything is all topsy-turvy. Which we can continue on going into some wrestling news segments, because some shit has been getting real weird as of, like, what, yesterday at the time of recording? Was it Wednesday or Tuesday that they announced it, the WrestleMania?
I think that was Tuesday.
Okay. Well, yeah, so that is the end of the AEW. So let's go ahead and talk about what's been going on with WWE. Mm-hmm. So they've been having their Performance Center matches. They announced on Tuesday that WrestleMania will be canceled in Tampa, be played on two nights, on Saturday the 5th and then Sunday, or Saturday the 4th and Sunday the 5th. Am I correct in my dates? I believe.
I think so.
Yeah, and we'll have them at two separate locations. At least that's what the kind of rumor is, I think.
Yeah, I think they're talking about two locations. I'm not sure what they are yet, though.
Yeah, but that's smart, especially if they're trying to keep, because if you have, well, the two-night thing in general is a good idea, but then that kind of saves you from, like, having to, like, completely disinfect a place before having to go back. But then at the same time, it's like, whatever. But it's having it two nights is smart, because if you're trying to keep it.
Maybe they'll just have like a jumbo screen and then host it in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Everyone's 6 feet away from each other.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have to have a pretty big TV. Or a pretty big, pretty big jumbo screen at the end of that to like see all that shit. Yeah, they the two night thing is though, like I said, since it's no crowd, I'm pretty sure one of them is going to be at the Performance Center. That would make sense, right?
Yeah, they do love putting shows out at the Performance Center.
Yeah, but yeah, no crowd, obviously. So with the only having essential members needed there, that's probably smart for them to have the two locations, because then you just dwindle down the amount of people even more, you know?
Sort of, yes.
So, like, instead of having all matches on one night, or you have it on two nights, so then when it's split, you have less people in the building, as opposed to...
I just think they've been toying with the idea for a while, and we're trying to figure out how to introduce it, and now Vince is like, oh, this is great!
What, like a multi-night WrestleMania?
I mean, I thought they had 14 matches that were supposed to be going on until Vince probably changed it all at the last minute. So we got half of them.
Honestly, I kind of like this better. Last year was a slog. That was an exhausting WrestleMania. And it seems like it gets longer and longer and longer every time.
Yeah.
Where like two nights is fine. Three and a half hour shows I can deal with. As opposed to 1 7-8 hour show, including a performance by Pitbull.
Yeah.
Or Flo Rida.
Yeah, depending on
one of the two. Maybe both.
Could be Snoop Dogg. He is in the Hall of Fame.
I can't believe they haven't had him do a WrestleMania performance yet, you know? Especially since he's technically they have the whole relative with Sasha Banks. That's like a nice little partnership that you can...
Oh, no, he had Snoop Dogg do her entrance once. That was about it.
Oh, okay. I meant I feel like people would appreciate Snoop Dogg a lot more than Pitbull and Flo Rida.
Yeah, but, you know, people.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, anyway, moving on.
Who's
the host of WrestleMania?
Yes, I was going to say, so speaking of WrestleMania, since we're still on that, they announced that Rob Gronkowski,
Gronkowski.
Yes. Of Patriots fame will be the host for both nights.
Yes.
Apparently he's doing a more WWE role.
Yeah, I guess he's probably going to be stepping into a WWE ring soon, but it's smart to have him just be the host right now.
Which that makes total sense, because
he's Gronk.
Well, yeah, because he said that he wouldn't play football unless it's for Brady, especially now that Brady is leaving the Patriots. He's like, well, it's time to get my it's time to take off my cleats and put on my laced boots. Yep. So that should be interesting. And
I think his first feud should be against the security guard that tried to stop him in WrestleMania.
The lady?
Yep.
Yeah. He's just healing it up with Mojo Rawley.
I mean, hey, that might be a Mojo Rawley push that doesn't end.
Mojo Rawley's gonna get pushed regardless, even if he was it's just gonna be lackey of Gronk.
Probably.
Yeah. We have, at least right now, the confirmed, or some of the confirmed matches for each individual night.
Mm-hmm.
For the Saturday show, we have Drew versus Brock. Which one does he have? He doesn't have the Universal Championship. Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, this is the Heavyweight Champion.
This is why your belts need to look different other than color. Because I see the...
Dude, the big gold belt.
The symbol. Bring God. Please bring it back. Yeah. Then we also had Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens, which is probably... I think I might be looking forward to this one. At least this one is one of my...
Yeah, I was going to say, not even Taker or AJ?
I mean, I'm looking forward to a lot of them, but if I were ranking them, this would be in the top three matches for this whole weekend.
I hope AJ gives Taker AJ and Taker have a really good match. He's like, all right, well, that's about it. I'm going to call it a day.
Yeah. Sorry, Michelle. He's just like, I knew it. So then we also had Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte for the NXT Women's Championship.
Which actually has a potential steal for Match of the Night, because I heard that they might make Drew lose. just so they could do it at SummerSlam, so they get the pop when he wins.
But like, wouldn't people like? No, that's so. That'd be so dumb. His momentum is like crazy right now. Like, it's feel like every time Brock and Drew are in the same like room together, Drew ends up doing that like running boot.
The Claymore?
Claymore, yeah. Running boot.
Now they have it by nefarious means, so then Drew has to take someone else out, and then he fights his way to Brock at SummerSlam.
I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, I guess you're not going to get the pop from him winning, but and this is actually, all of this stuff is a bonus for Roman Reigns. Because when he wins the belt, he won't be showered with booze.
I mean, it's not that bad so far, so.
Yeah. But then, yeah, and then the last match on Saturday, it was AJ and Undertaker, which was.
I already mentioned that.
Yes, you did.
So moving into Sunday, we have Becky Lynch versus Shayna Baszler.
That I'm yes. super pumped about. I really hope that Shayna just, oh God, I'm sorry, Becky. I hope Shayna just whoops the fuck out of her. Apparently that truck that she had was supposed to be used during WrestleMania.
Yeah, I love the paint job on it.
Yeah, so, and which would be perfect because, like, she's, like, such an over, like, she's getting very arrogant in her position. So this is a perfect time for her to, like, get knocked down. Because then she'll still be, like, I think the arrogance, I don't think
it'll... That would have been awesome to see her drive the truck in.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think it fit a little bit better, though, seeing her come in and drink beers with Stone Cold.
Yeah, that was good. I don't think, though, that this will, like make Shayna a face. Like, she's still going to be the bad guy in this situation.
Oh, yeah.
I think this will just kind of extend that story to where, like, Becky's like, well, I fucked up.
Yeah, she's just going, oh, I got cocky.
I got too full of myself. I turned into Seth, and then I got engaged to Seth.
I'm complacent and full of myself. I'm on the road to redemption now. If I have to fight my way back tooth and nail.
But she's taking a break after WrestleMania, though, so.
Yeah, they're going on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Nice planning.
Yeah, right? Perfect time. Well, mm-hmm. Great. We're going to be stuck at home.
Staycation.
Yeah, so then we also have, we already
Goldberg.
Talked about
Goldberg.
The big dog.
Versus Roman. Yeah, that's that day. And then John Cena versus The Fiend.
Yes.
I mean, how is The Fiend going to fight him if he can't see him?
That's very true. Maybe The Fiend can see invisible.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's got magical powers.
Yeah, so we're just going to see like him, like a fake wrestling, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to be, like, wrestling nobody, but he's actually wrestling John Cena, clearly, because we're inferior. This is the closest that I can think of, like, a non-Hearn Cain Helms superhero fight. Because clearly that doesn't count.
Ooh, Helms versus The Fiend, that'd be interesting.
That'd be really interesting. Helms would definitely get his ass kicked. That would be,
very quickly. He'd mandible claw, like, 5 seconds. He'd be, like,
he's definitely a Krillin to John Cena's Goku. Pretty much. I mean, they haven't announced any tag matches. I'm assuming they're going to have all the belts.
I mean, what do they do for the tag division, really?
Nothing, but they're still going to... They love putting everybody on there now. So, they're going to have a... They got to have a Raw match, a Raw tag team. They got to have
They'll probably have Miz and Morrison, at least.
Who do you think they'll face?
I mean, I don't know. They're probably going to argue they already beat everyone at the Elimination Chamber, and they shouldn't face anyone. And they'll probably have some sort of a gauntlet match because that's what they do.
Has there?
Oh, we can't have gauntlet matches now. Well,
we can't. Too many people.
I mean, two announcers, ref, timekeeper. What, 5 people?
That's enough. That's good. You're still
6 people.
Yeah, so. It's still fun.
Okay.
That's still fun.
Oh, camera people.
Oh, okay, that's right.
So, yeah, 5 people.
Nope. That's too many. Too many people. But, yeah, we got Sammy's got to defend. I'm assuming Sammy's going to be defending the IC title.
Yeah, they'll probably give him a singles match against Braun.
And then Braun will get it back.
I don't know. Maybe nefarious means somehow, like a DQ or a countout.
I said it last week.
Just do, like, the unbelievable where he just keeps getting lucky kind of a thing.
I said it last week. It blows my mind that, like, Braun's not getting pushed because he is Vince McMahon's wet dream.
Yeah, he should have been, but I don't know.
And then nothing. They won't pull the trigger. So out of what they've given us so far, what do you think is going to be?
We can't forget Edge Randy Orton. They'll definitely add that one.
Yeah, that's one. They haven't decided what that's going to be on. That actually might be like match of the night. There's a lot of emotion behind that standing. One. Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
Although I'm kind of wondering if we don't get like a Randy Orton punt just so that Edge's like first match can be in front of a live studio audience.
I don't know. Do you think they would do that?
Maybe. Punt beforehand? We haven't seen a punt in a while.
Yeah.
Everyone loves a good punt to
the back. Everyone loves a good punt to the back of the head. Mm-hmm. So out of all those, what do you think would be the best one? Goldberg versus the Big Dog? You're absolutely right.
That's what I was thinking.
Spear versus spear. Oh my God, so many spears. That's all they do is just spear each other. They spear each other until the ring collapse.
That would be hilarious. Oh, the ring collapsed!
Like, they're still spearing each other. The ref got speared and just gets like destroyed in between two spears. That's how, if they don't want Roman to win, that's how it's going to end, is they're both going to try to spear each other. And they do, and then it just so happens that Goldberg falls on top of Roman, or vice versa, you know? Regardless, it's going to be terrible.
Yeah, so I think Flair Ripley for day one, and then they'll probably put Edge Orton on day two.
See, Rhea and Charlotte would be a good one, but like... Seth and Kevin Owens, I really do think is going to be awesome. I haven't seen Kevin Owens wrestle in a long time, in like a while. Like, he hasn't been on TV that much aside from him just like showing up and like
Stunner.
Pouring popcorn on people. Yeah, he's great. So like and Seth, despite how much I don't like him, is still really good. So I think that'll be definitely like one of the matches of the night. I'm also interested to see if AJ and Undertaker is going to be a squash match, or if AJ is going to like carry Taker through a match or so.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I think it'll be a good 15-minute back and forth.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody can get a good match out of Taker, it'd definitely be AJ, because he can get a good match out of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got one out of Brock. That's impossible.
He got one out of Ellsworth.
He did. He almost killed Ellsworth.
But he saved Ellsworth.
He did, because he's... phenomenal.
And then Ellsworth went on to beat Gilbert.
Wait, what?
Indy.
Oh.
That match happened. James Ellsworth versus Dwayne Gilbert.
Oh, that's so sad.
All right, so we have two confirmed Hall of Famers, well, future Hall of Famers for this year.
Yeah, later. You
know, whenever it happens. I don't know if that'll be an empty stadium thing, or if I think I heard rumor that they're postponing it till SummerSlam.
Yeah, they could do that. That's okay, I suppose.
All right, so we have British Bulldog.
Decides it. Sorry,
British Bulldog and Jushin Thunder Liger.
Both of those took far. Well, Jushin Thunder Liger makes sense because he's retired this year.
Yes,
so I'm fine with that. Bulldog, I feel like should have been in there a lot longer.
Yeah,
a while ago. A lot while ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We got you. I'm sorry that you're stepping in.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on to a future Hall of Famer, The Rock. He posted a video today. It was just like hyping up Black Adam and how excited he is for it. I guess it starts shooting in August, allegedly.
Allegedly? Yeah, that's... Yeah.
And he told us basically like it's going to start with a solo film and then move on to the Black Adam versus Shazam. And then he said like... Oh, like, I wouldn't fight Superman for the first one. That would be, like, down the line. So I don't know if he's throwing a teaser or that's just random speculation.
I'm sure with his poll, it's like, I said it. It's going to happen now.
Me, Henry Cavill, let's go.
Yeah, right.
I want that Witcher.
Exactly. But I'm sure the delay, the release for the movie won't be fucked with at all. But the production of it might be, considering... right now, like, the whole world is shutting down. That includes the movie industry. Currently, like, theaters all around the world are closing. And actually, I wanted to bring this up as kind of a small discussion point. Because NBC Universal has decided to release the movies that it had in theater, which include Invisible Man, The Hunt, and Emma, plus... Trolls 2, which is going to was supposed to be released in April. They're going to be They're going straight to video on demand. Mm-hmm. So you can either rent or buy them. Essentially, like, I think it's like starting next week, like we could rent Invisible Man or buy it.
As long as we're not locked down.
Yes. Now, already this whole thing has definitely caused like a very large concern for like the music or the movie industry in general, especially when it comes to theaters, because if this, and at least this is kind of the fear, if it is like, if this practice works, that's not good for theaters, especially now since like they're we don't know how long everything's gonna be shut down.
And also, Disney's 20% of their revenue, so if they see other people can do it, like, oh,
yeah,
we don't need them.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I would not want movie theaters to like go the wayside. Like you can streaming and all that other stuff is around nowadays, but like there's so many movies that I've seen that I wish I saw in theaters first because I know it would have made it just that much better. That much better. Again, words. And there's movies that suck that are marginally better because you're seeing it in theaters.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a 92-foot screen is better than a 92-inch screen.
Yeah, and, like, it's not even, like, the surround sound, especially, mm-hmm. like when you, a good horror the movie.
Comments made by your casting partner.
Like, watching A Quiet Place in theaters was the most terrifying thing in the world. And not only because the fact that you have to be quiet, but, like, just the atmosphere of the room because of like you'd hear like, and with the surround sound, like you'd hear shit like off in the background behind you and freak the fuck out, even though it's just like a branch, just because it creates that kind of atmosphere. And unless you're like rich as fuck, you can't necessarily do, you know, recreate the idea of a movie theater on the 42-inch screen that I have at my house on top of my dresser with, you know, I don't, with no surround sound or like any of that shit. So
it'd be nice if you could, though.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're rich, definitely works out for them. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested to see how this plays out. I'm kind of hoping that the VOD thing is just a temporary, like, shit, we need to make money off this kind of thing. They do have, though, there is just with this, there have been so many movies that have been postponed in Basham. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Your New Mutants, once again, has been pushed back to an undetermined date.
For like 3 years.
It's like never going to come out.
Actually, this is one I think they might consider for like a Disney Plus, just whatever. Like, we already lost it from Fox, or already lost the money from Fox.
But yeah, let me just run down a small list that we got here. So, movies that were pushed back, that their releases were pushed back. We had, yes, New Mutants. The Mulan movie was pushed back. This horror movie Antlers, which I was pretty excited for. I don't know if you've ever seen trailers for it. It's really fucking weird, but...
Antlers.
Antlers.
I think I have seen it once.
Super fucking weird, but like, I love those kind of horror movies. Fast and Furious 9, which got pushed back an entire year.
Oh, no.
Which I'm pretty sure is because there's supposed to be so many, like, Disney slated releases coming out later in the summer. They probably just want to be like, we'll just skip this year and then...
Yeah, like, nah, they're going to have a Disney movie every week.
Poor John Cena, though. His big debut in the 9th or 10th movie of Fast and Furious, and he's got to wait it out now.
Mm-hmm. That'll make his debut even better.
Yep.
I hope they can see him in this.
Right? Hopefully. Hopefully it's just not Vin Diesel punching nothing.
Yeah. Well, with today's effects, maybe.
That's true. This is an artist recreation of what John Cena looks like. Then we also had, like, The Amazing Life of David Copperfield, Woman in the Window, and, of course, Quiet Place 2, which has been pushed back. A lot of these... The movie industry, quote unquote, is calling this a 2-week break. I don't necessarily know if that's going to be the case, but a lot of these are like supposed to be pushed back until later in the summer or just not given a date yet.
No, so it's just like a vacation, though.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But along with that, There's a lot of TV shows and movies that just have had to stop production. One in particular, like Shang-Chi had stop production because their director, as advised by their doctor, had to put himself in self-isolation, which is scary. Batman obviously was halted. So was they were doing. I didn't know this was started yet. They're doing a live action Little Mermaid, which apparently production is halted on.
Why?
Another live action Peter Pan.
Why?
And a Home Alone reboot.
Why?
I know. I don't understand why either. But all of those
more traps.
Yeah.
All and of a the, random cameo from Macaulay Culkin.
I hope he's the dad in this one. They do like a meta, but they make it so he's like, how could I have forgot my kid at home? This happened to me when I was a kid. Because
breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah, and they can just really reel in that nostalgia money, you know? But those are the TVs, like all of them said there's like a two to three week kind of like break in between the filming. Same thing with Falcon, Winter Soldier, and WandaVision, although they apparently have already pretty much finished with those, so they don't have to necessarily worry about that too much. The Flash, which there's a possibility, like this is its last season, so there's a possibility that it might just end early, which I think is a big threat with a lot of TV shows that are going right now.
Just, let's kill everyone.
But like, well, okay, well, yeah, we'll just finish it now. And then the Witcher season 2. Now, I've not seen the first season of Witcher, but apparently there is a character in that who also plays a big role in the second season who has either has self-isolated himself or has actually come down with the coronavirus.
Henry Cavill? Because that would make sense.
No, not Henry Cavill. Oh, okay. It was like the guy, I think he was going to be a villain for this one. But he played a huge enough role to where they had to stop production because he ended up getting it and all that, something like that. So, yeah, shit is just fucking crazy.
Yeah, I guess Norman Osborn might also be coming to the MCU.
And that's good crazy.
Not the Green Goblin crazy, just the Norman Osborn crazy.
That's still okay.
Yeah, I guess he's probably going to be the one to band together the Sinister Six, which makes sense.
Or they do like a Dark Avengers. That would be cool. But then they'd have to make Avengers bad guys again.
Nah.
If they're going to follow they could, because Norman was the Iron Man of the Dark Avengers.
Yeah, no, I think they want to do a Sinister Six first, though. So instead of Wilson Fisk bringing them together, they're going to have Norman Osborn do it.
Yeah,
that'd be okay with.
Speaking of, Fisk-esque characters that have interacted with Wilson Fisk, there was rumor that there's not a blind superhero, but a highly skilled lawyer that is supposed to be defending Spider-Man in. Mm-hmm. The next movie, which, honestly, I really, 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 really hope they bring back, Charlie Cox.
Yeah, he played that character perfectly.
He fucking nailed it. And
him and John Bernthal need to reprise the roles as Daredevil and Punisher, respectively.
I'm pretty sure someone has talked to, John Bernthal about the Punisher character, and he said he would play it, but it all depends on what they would do with the character.
Yeah, they need to stay true to the character that he built, not PG-13.
Yeah.
So he basically needs to be soaked in blood.
Yeah. Yes. And this kind of works out, especially, and both of these kind of work, because if you were going to introduce Punisher, you have Moon Knight and then Blade that you can kind of bring him into it. Because those are the two that sort of lean into that thing. I still, like, Kevin, I know you're listening. Those the Marvel Knights universe, like, do it.
Like, that would be amazing.
Do it. And that can be your defenders, like that, because then...
Don't forget Morbius.
Yeah. Yeah, Morbius, Ghost Rider, Moon Knight, Blade, Punisher, you can throw Daredevil, Jessica Jones, all those, like, the actual defenders in there. Yeah. Like, hello. Like, do it. It's perfect. Because you're already doing these elsewhere kind of universe shit.
Kevin knows how to make money.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Once again, like, I'm the authority. It'll be like, yes, that's what exactly should happen.
Plus, it's probably slated for down the line, but, you know, they have miles and miles of storyline to use.
Yeah, that's true. I think in my head, because it's like, yeah, I know what multiverses are. Let's just get with it now. They have to be, like, for the casual fans. Be like, seeing WandaVision, there are different dimensions and different universes. There are multiple different Earths.
Mm-hmm.
This one has zombies on it.
And then they have several different episodes to explain it.
Yeah.
Not just one movie where it seems over expeditious.
Mm-hmm. Was that all the news we have?
I'm still trying to figure out if I used the word expeditious correctly. Yes, that is all the news that I have.
I don't know.
No, there is one more little tidbit about one CM Punk.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there was an interview, and they asked him, you know, who would your dream matches be? So he named a lot of WWF guys, like, you know, yeah, I'd listen to that conversation. One of the indie guys he mentioned was Will Ospreay, who actually answered him. I think it was via Twitter, where he said something like, you know, make things happen, you know, be part of the machine or something instead of another cog in the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be one owning the machine instead of the cog in the wheel or something like that. So he basically challenged CM Punk to a match. I'd be okay with that. Ospreay versus Punk.
That'd be really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since I've seen Punk wrestle. I'd have to go back and watch it. I'm curious as to how their styles would mesh. So Ospreay is very flippy. And yes. I don't remember Punk really going up against a lot of flippy guys. You know what I mean? Because he was always sort of a main eventer, and a lot of those guys were like...
not flippy.
Yeah.
Because Vince.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be good. I'd be curious.
Mm-hmm.
So, this particular episode is going to be a little bit shorter, because obviously, I think originally we were going to do Quiet Place this week.
Yes.
We had a lot of movie reviews kind of slated. We could easily talk about random shit that we've watched, like The Last Action Hero. But in the spirit of the pandemic, we have a bunch of a list of things that really make this whole virus thing a little bit easier. Like, oh, this is just an extended vacation as opposed to me turning into a zombie.
Yes.
Wait. I mean, what do you think is now? I wonder the hunger virus. A lot of this stuff is mostly comic related, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Like the hunger virus. Do you think that's just like their way of explaining? Like, obviously, it's their way of explaining zombies. I don't necessarily know if it's the same with like, because I've always been curious about Walking Dead. Because essentially, Walking Dead is like it. It's like the same thing because the way that the hunger virus in the thing works is like, yeah, it's a virus and it's transmitted by bites
or
like,
scratches.
Or scratches, yeah. So, I mean, your typical thing, just can you imagine? I've only read a few of the Marvel zombies, but can you imagine like living in a world with like Giant Man as a zombie?
That would be scary.
Or even Nightcrawler. You can't hide, you can just teleport everywhere. Because I'm pretty sure they retained all their powers, didn't they?
I'm not 100% sure. I think they retained some of them, but their usage was hit or miss.
That storyline was dark as fuck. I'm pretty sure Spider-Man took his own life because he like ate MJ or Aunt May, one of the two. Yeah,
I need to refresh myself on that.
Yeah, that shit was crazy. Which I mean, on the other side of the spectrum, I feel like this is the funny one. Is the Ultron virus.
Mm-hmm.
Just
turns people into
Ultrons. That's more of just like, they're like, well, we've really overdone these like mass making of robots, but we need mass robots for Ultron. How do we do this? Mm. Well, how about this? I can't remember
what virus that turns people into Ultrons.
I can't remember what story arc that was in, because there's like some of the Ultron storylines are good. Where like the Age of Ultron is a really good one, where he is like, it's like the offshoot where he wins, basically. Yeah.
Which I kind of thought they were gonna do for a minute.
I did like it. I don't know if you've ever seen Young Avengers. I believe it is the animated one. It's like
I've seen some, but nothing to create a storyline.
Oh, so it's like. It's basically like the offspring of all these different like superheroes, but they're the only ones that it's like all the offspring plus Tony Stark and Vision are the only like heroes alive because Ultron is in control of the Earth and they're like living off the grid and shit. But it's like Captain America and Black Widow had a kid, and that's the Captain America-esque kid. They have Storm and...
that kid would be insane.
Storm and Black Panther's kid. That kid would be insane.
Yeah.
I think Thor's kid was there, too. I don't remember who he had one with. But then, and obviously Ant-Man and Wasp, which is just... The kid was annoying. It wasn't the like his daughter. It wasn't Scott's daughter. It was like just like a new kid that they had. Yeah. He reminded me of how Beast Boy is in Teen Titans Go. But like,
I have not seen Teen Titans Go.
Just like really obnoxious.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh man. See, there's the one on here. I feel like the extremist virus ruined Iron Man 3. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there since we're talking about viruses.
I mean, there's several things that ruined Iron Man 3.
That was, I know the extremist virus is a separate storyline in the comics, which is why they tried to do the Mandarin and the virus for some reason at the same time.
Yeah, they need to stop combining storylines.
But that's,
I think you would learn from Sony.
Yeah, I don't know. It was that there's so many things that bother me about it, but if I'm looking at the whole that aspect of it is very like detrimental to the movie. Especially just the breathing fire and the fact that and this might be just another like personal hatred of Gwyneth Paltrow. But like the fact that Pepper Potts saved the day really grinds my gears.
It was kind of weird that with all those suits exploding, it was a missile that from a random other suit that took him out.
No, Pat, you don't get it. The missile was right next to him. That's the difference. Yeah, exactly. That one. There were the two big ones, though, that are mostly the Marvel side. And I wouldn't even think one of them is necessarily... I don't think it's like a huge detriment to like the story as a whole, but the techno organic virus, the Cable virus, basically the virus that Cable has. I don't know much about it personally. I know that it was created by Mr. Sinister, like during the Age of Apocalypse era. It was used to kind of like to obviously wipe out mutants. Cable's power is what's really keeping it at bay. I can't remember, and this is for both sides, because there's the other one, the legacy virus.
I thought the techno-organic virus was some sort of a weird offshoot of the legacy virus.
I'm pretty sure it that's why I was getting confused, because I have a series of X-Men comics when they were introducing that, and like I distinctly remember it was the issue when Magneto ripped all of Wolverine's adamantium out of his body, and it was like it was fucked up, because it was like he basically turned it into liquid and it was coming out of his pores, so it was like a two-page shot of Magneto with his fist up in the air like that, and Wolverine just sprawled out screaming with just like metal ooze coming out of his skin.
It was pretty sexy.
So brutal. And I was like, I'm six. but yeah, the legacy virus, that is the one that just, that's made to kill mutants. That is the, in true comic fashion, Cable's evil clone brother Strife.
I'm not sure. The whole Summers line is kind of confusing.
Cable is... I know he's a clone, and he's evil. He wears a crazy-looking, like, almost samurai suit.
Oh, Strife, yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was in... Have you ever played Captain America and the Avengers? The old, like, arcade game?
No.
No? I'm pretty sure he was in it for a moment. He was, like, the first, like, mini-boss that just sucks.
Oh, okay.
He's like... but yeah, they've done this storyline a bunch of different times with the legacy virus, but it always ends the same. A lot of dead mutants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good, because that's what it designed it. It'd be kind of weird if it was like, we only suffered one casualty.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't too bad, I suppose. Oh yeah, but yes, I had to correct myself earlier. The TO virus is different from the T virus.
Yes,
T virus is the same as the hunger virus, essentially. Yes. Just in Resident Evil.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of names for like viruses that do the same thing.
Well, I mean, there can only be so many, you know, virus effects.
Yeah, but you think I'm curious what the
you could have the Doom virus. Either turns you into a superhero or a monster.
Oh, from the movie Doom?
Yes.
God, that movie is so bad. That's what we can talk about. I know we've talking about shitty movies before. We can always start going into that. Although I don't,
I'll have to find my list.
Was that
Spawn 97 was still on that one?
See, I think that movie is bad because of the effects. I don't think it has much to do with the story, but just like the fact that you're like watching this movie with just the worst like. Raw vs. SmackDown 2006 crowd of devils in hell. Like, just the row of copy and paste people, and the devil looks terrible, and you're like, Jurassic Park is already out. Why does this look like this?
Yeah, because what, Todd McFarlane budget.
Was the Doom thing was an actual virus? I didn't remember that. Oh, I guess, yeah, it was. It wasn't like that in the games, though. They were just, like, demons from hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all the viruses I got. But I'm Tish. That's not a joke. That's Tish.
I don't have any viruses.
Good for you. See? Luckily, we're 6 feet apart and I'm in a bubble.
Yes, I brought my hazmat suit, so we're all good.
Yes. So yeah, like I said, this episode's a lot shorter than usual. Everything is all weird. Not quite sure what's going to happen next week.
It's one big ball of timey-wimey shit.
Timey-wimey shit. I know next week we'll probably have our predictions for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they'll have a lot more matches announced within the coming weeks, considering there's nothing else they can really do.
Yeah, just slowly build matches.
Mm-hmm. If you want us to review shitty movies, let us know. Or if there's anything you want us to look at.
Or if you don't want us to review shitty movies, let us know.
Yeah. Tell us what to do and we'll just do it, because we basically just talk about the same stuff.
And we might be quarantined.
Yeah, that's true. we'll live cast the quarantine. That's what I'm saying. Like at the end, it'll be like day one, everything's all good, and then day seven, someone in the house is gonna be like locked in a room and locked in a box. Everyone else will just be like in their primal rage.
Ooh.
Not the video game.
No.
No. That would be nice though. 7 days after quarantine, we turn into giant dinosaurs that fight each other.
How about like a barbarian? I need a new D&D character.
Ooh, that would be...
Barbarian Rage. 7-day D&D quest.
There's so many D&D podcasts, but I would love to do a D&D podcast.
We're just doing a real-time D&D mission.
That would be a lot... Yeah, we're just doing a real-time... The mission will be what we're experiencing now. So like, all right, you guys are quarantined. What do you do? Nothing. Good job. roll a dice. Critical failed. You walk outside. The police arrest you. Oh, God. What is this world coming to? Yeah. Basham, do you have any final thoughts for this episode?
I try not to think. It interrupts the thought process.
Exactly. That's words to live by. Words of wisdom from Bash. So, yeah, I guess, as always, check us out on the social media at House of Pod 1. Next week we'll see how this goes. If we're all stuck in our houses, well, I'll come over here. I said I'll bring you rolls of toilet paper,
mm-hmm.
so we can just we'll yeah. then
supply delivery.
Yeah, then we'll live stream our isolation. That'll be perfect. This podcast just turns into a really shitty version of Real World Quarantine Edition.
Does that mean I was going to take my cell phone and fill my house with alcohol?
No. I'm just thinking of like the like trailer for it. It's like, see these three normal people and one frat boy living in a house together, quarantined for the next 2 weeks. What will happen?
Fighting over a plastic belt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I guess that's it for now.
Indeed.
Say, everybody wash your hands. That's the best advice
Shut
I got.
Shut your ass.
Yes. Wash your hands. What was the second one? Oh, I can't wait for that shirt
I don't
to
know,
come
I'm
in.
Not Jericho.
Yes. the champion. But yeah, for House of Pod, I'm Mike.
I'm Bash.
Fazzy well.